Welcome to The Millennial Rant, a podcast about whatever's bothering me today. With topics ranging from politics to pop culture, there's a rant to cover everyone. For more Millennial Rant content, you can join me on the web at millennialrant.com. There are two types of avid readers in this world. The type that reads purely for the enjoyment of it, and the type that reads purely to rub in the faces of those who enjoy it that they're not enjoying the right kind of books. I am neither one of those, because I'm not an avid reader, regardless of how I present myself. I have read books that I enjoy and I've read books that I don't enjoy. I have a vast collection of books that I hope to make it through eventually, but I'm actually not that big of a reader. And maybe that's because I'm basing my reading experience on my brother Jordan and my dad, who I swear never don't have a book in their hands, or in my dad's case, on his phone, he listens to audiobooks like nonstop. And it doesn't matter what kind of book it is, whether they like the book or not. If they start it, they finish it. I'm not that person. I cannot finish a book unless I enjoy it, or unless, like, I absolutely have to because it's for school. And to be perfectly frank, I have an English degree for my undergrad, and I read maybe 5%. Of the books that I was required to read. SparkNotes is a fantastic tool. I don't advise that. If I could go back, I think I'd do them in audiobook format, but I can't, so I didn't. And I am not sorry. But yeah, not an avid reader. If I start a book, I don't finish it unless I enjoyed it. And you have like the first maybe 3-4 chapters to really hook me. Otherwise, I'll put it down and I'm so busy, I just won't pick it back up. And that's a shame because there are a lot of books that I've picked up and I started to enjoy and it just didn't catch me all the way. And I was like, oh, I'll finish it later. And I put it down and like 10 years later, it's still on my shelf. Eldest comes to mind. And it didn't grab me the way Aragorn did. I finished Aragorn in a day. I mean, less than a day, because I got it like halfway through the day. But I finished Aragorn very, very quickly. And so I thought I would also breeze through Eldest. And I got to the part where he was leaving the mountain, and I was just uninterested. I didn't really care where it was going or about the characters or anything. So I put it down and I was like, I'll finish it later. Never did. It's been like, gosh, almost 20 years. So yeah, I can't force myself to finish books that I don't enjoy. And so when I talk to people who are readers, I can usually tell right away whether they are a enjoyment reader or a pretentious reader. Because I'll say, oh, yeah, especially at a bookstore, you know, you're picking up books, and they're like, oh, yeah, what's your favorite classic book? And I'm like, depends, I guess, on what you define as a classic. I really like The Chronicles of Narnia and The Lord of the Rings and Emma. Most people's favorite Jane Austen book is Pride and Prejudice. Mine is Emma. I really, really, really loved Emma. And I never really read a lot of classics. Partly, I think, because they've been overly spoiled. So it's like, why would I need to read it? I already know what happens. But also because it's not my primary interest. It's not what I specifically enjoy reading. And that's not to say that people who read classics are all pretentious readers. There are some people who were introduced to classics young, and so that became their primary, you know, interest in reading, and it helped feed, I guess you could say, their current interests, whatever, wherever those may lie in whatever genre. But when people say, you know, what's your favorite? And I'll say, oh, I don't know, Emma or The Scarlet Letter, which I also really did enjoy once I sat down and actually read it. They'll say, oh, mine's Wuthering Heights. And I'm like, oh, there are two people, okay, like outside of the two we've already talked about, there are two kinds of people who say that their favorite book is Wuthering Heights. Those that are like genuinely entrenched in classic literature and just enjoy like picking it apart and all of the nuances and things of classic literature. And those who want you to think that they're the first kind. And it's like, oh no. So that's a red flag. And then when you start to actually get into a literary conversation with them and they're like, oh, well, this book and that book. And I've been reading Shakespeare since I was 2 years old. And, you know, good for you. Good for you. I absolutely love that you've been reading that much and that you have like a genuine love and taste for the deep classics. But those same people are the ones who look at books like Harry Potter or The Hunger Games or pick one. Anything that, you know, has been crazy popular in the last 25 years and they go, oh, well, those are fun too. And you're just like, you know, and there's this idea going around of at least they're reading, right? And yes, no, there are some things that at least they're reading, right? But there are other things that you should genuinely be careful of what your kids are reading. If, you know, at the very least, have a talk with them about certain things first. For example, in a lot of YA fiction now, there are pretty heavy depictions of sexual relations, especially with minors. And that is something to be very leery of. But that's not what this video is about. This video is about people who look down on other people for their taste in literature. I would never look down on anybody for their taste in the classics. I would also never look down on anybody for their taste in the popular. It may not necessarily run along my tastes. I never got into the whole Twilight craze. It didn't do anything for me. But there were a lot of people who were genuinely enthralled and touched and moved and, you know, whatever, et cetera, et cetera, by the Twilight books. It spoke to them in a way that was resonating and deep. And Twilight fans have gotten a lot of flack for enjoying something that was designed to be enjoyable. It wasn't designed to be high literature. It was designed to be fun. And so we've gotten to a place as a culture where if you read for fun, these books that are put out for fun, then you are made fun of. And so they stop reading. Because the only other option is to become a avid scholar of literature and delve deep into the classics. And again, that's great if that's what you want. But most people in our society are no longer at that level of literacy. And they're not at that point where they can genuinely enjoy that kind of writing, those kinds of books. And it's not because they're stupid. It's not because they don't have the capacity. It just, by and large, our culture is designed to entertain. Things are quick and, you know, relatively easy to swallow, from movies to television to music to literature. Our literature has been, you know, fluffed a lot. And that isn't to say that people shouldn't branch out, that they shouldn't delve more deeply into more literary works. But at the same time, who am I to criticize someone who wants to pick up fluff and read it? Cotton candy has its place too. There's nothing wrong with that. And so, you know, if you really want to encourage people to branch out, to read things that are more elevated, then the best way to start doing that is not to ridicule them for their taste in books that they've already been enjoying. Find out what they enjoy. Find out the genre. Find out the depth. Do they like stories that are heavily, you know, plot centered? Do they like the character arcs? Do they like different worlds? Do they like a mystery? Find out what it is that they like, and then recommend them books that are a little bit deeper, but on that same level. So that, and then after they finish that, recommend another book that's a little bit deeper, but on that same, and that's in that same sphere. And then they'll naturally start to find more literary books that appeal to them. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. But it's the same thing with Christianity, right? If you come at people telling them that they're going to go to hell if they don't listen to you, they're not going to want to listen to you. If you come to somebody and say, I have been reading Shakespeare since I was 2 years old, so you should listen to me. I've read Ulysses. Yeah, well, nobody reads Ulysses except to brag about the fact that they've read Ulysses, because Ulysses makes no sense and it's dumb. And so, you know, it's for as far as I'm concerned, it's not an accomplishment to have read Ulysses. Congratulations, you sloughed through something that was basically unmanageable. Good for you. I'm over here in the corner reading The Princess and the Goblin, which is technically a classic. The biggest thing for me is that if you enjoy what you're reading, then enjoy it. And enjoy it for what it is, whether it's because it's a literary masterpiece and you have a lot to learn for it, or because it's just a rollicking good time. Nothing wrong with either of those. So as from one non-avid reader to other non-avid readers and potentially avid readers as well, just have fun with it. I have a friend who is a voracious reader, and she largely reads just clean romance. And they're not super sophisticated. As an author, I can pretty much predict exactly how the book is going to go as she's telling me about it. But she loves them and she's invested in them. And it's something that she very much genuinely enjoys. And I'm not going to tell her, oh, well, you know, if you really wanted to have a sophisticated book palette, you should branch out and read another romance like Jane Austen, which I'm pretty sure she's read all of Jane Austen's books like 1,000 times, but you get what I'm saying. It's not on me to tell her that she should read better, because who's to say that she's reading badly? She enjoys it. It engages her mind and stimulates her imagination, and if it's all just pure cotton candy fluff, who cares? At least she's reading.